Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, hello, everyone. We are so glad that you joined us. However you are listening to us, we are so grateful that you take this time out to listen and learn something. I know you do every single time. Today, we are going to hear from Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. And you know, I always love to hear their wisdom. And today, Mark, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind today is I want to talk about the process of how we grow into emotionally healthy individuals. So anytime that we're building competency with anything, there's four identified stages of competency. So I'm going to say them. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, so I'm going to say them all first, and then I'm going to explain them. So here are the four stages. Unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and unconscious incompetence. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right, so unconscious incompetence, that's when we are unaware that we're doing something wrong. So this week, just a few days ago, is actually the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. The Titanic, the radio operators received six notifications that there was ice and icebergs, and they didn't heed any one of them. And of course, if they had known they were on a direct collision course, they would change courses, but they didn't. So they were in unconscious incompetence. Next, we have conscious incompetence. That's when we become aware of what we're doing, mm-hmm. that we're doing something wrong, but we haven't yet made the change. Mm-hmm. So I'll see this. This is when you are seeing more than just the tip of the iceberg. You see everything underneath. Now, at this point, people can get stuck in shame, mm-hmm. or they can get stuck in overwhelm of the amount of effort it's going to take to change, or even denial, you know, I'm just this way. But don't stop there, because becoming aware is how we get to the next stage of competence. Then we have conscious competence, where you are actively doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you succeed, but you get back up again and you keep on going. And I love it when my clients get to this stage. It's a joke in my household. When my wife started to make efforts, I would say to her, "You're doing it." And sometimes I say that to my clients just to encourage them, "You're doing it." Right? And so keep on going, because you're finally getting to awareness to see the icebergs in your life, mm-hmm. and being able to navigate some around some of them. And then you do that enough, it becomes muscle memory, mm-hmm. and you get to unconscious incompetence. Okay? But now here's the question though. How do we figure out what is unconscious for us? Well, we need to develop something called the observing self. And the observing self is the active part of self-awareness, mm-hmm. that we engage in. It's more than just watching. Watching can be passive. We watch televisions. We don't really expect them to do anything. But if you've ever done a science experiment, you likely wrote an observation. You watch for what happened and why. It was cause and an effect. So we need to build that part of us that in any given circumstance, we ask ourselves these questions. What am I feeling? How am I reacting? And what just happened to trigger those emotions and reactions? Psalm 139:23-24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." But we need to learn how to do that rigorous searching of ourselves so that we can also notice our anxious thoughts, so that God is able to lead us into understanding. And so emotionally healthy people, they have this intentional internal process to become aware of their flaws and actively recondition. So here's my challenge to listeners today is, do you have a process to self-examine? Have you built the observing self? And if you haven't, we have many resources. Mm-hmm. We've got a network of counselors that can help you get started on this journey.
That is a mic drop, Mark. It's just drop that mic. It was so good. And I tell you, I love that phrase, navigate the icebergs in your life. Mm-hmm. How are you navigating the icebergs if you don't have a process that you are building awareness, that you have a group of people around you that are helping you build that awareness? We can help you, just like Mark said. We can get you on that journey, that voyage, to use the metaphor even further. We want to see you have the life that God has planned for you. We'll be right back taking your calls after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, just like Mark said, and you'll hear Alice say this because we say it all the time, New Life exists to help people get the resources that they need to navigate life. And sometimes it's repair, sometimes it's restore, sometimes it's what do I need to know for the future and how can I heal? And we want to get you connected. And the way we do that is because people give us gifts and offerings to help us get the message out. Right now we have a matching gift campaign. I want to invite you, if you've never given anything to support the Ministry of New Life, now is the time, because every dollar will be doubled. We had a group of donors who put together a seed of $400,000. So every dollar up to that $400,000 will be matched, and it will release the funds so that we can continue to offer help and hope in this world. And you know, we need it. We need it more every day. And the Lord has blessed us for 35 years. We want to continue to offer help for so many people. If you want to give, you can call us. Not if you want to give, when you give, because I know you want to give. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and you can give there. You can go to newlife.com/donate, or you can text the word match to 28950. And we just appreciate in advance all that you're going to give to support the ministry. Now we're going to go to the calls and begin to help people today. We're going to talk with Emily, who's calling us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and she got a referral. Hey, Emily, we're so glad that you called. How can we help you today?
Yes, hello. I am calling. The question that I have is scriptures about tithing. So many people, like, they say they are apostles, pastors. They stand on the scripture usually about Malachi. But I've looked online and I've seen that there are other scriptures as well that lead to tithing, paying tithing and offering. And I'm just wondering, like, what's right? Because no one wants to be deceived. It's like you're almost afraid to trust people, you know, because one person say they are a ministry of apostle, and then they're telling you that you're supposed to stand on the scripture of Malachi 3:10, I believe it's 3:10, but then you find out that there's other scriptures in the Bible that lead to tithing. And it, you know, you don't know who the, it makes you, you know, it just leads you to a place where you, it's hard.
It sounds like it's hurting you have you been hurt in the church, Emily? Is this where this is coming from?
Well, it's like this apostle has been saying that you're supposed to stand on, you know, you pay the 10% out of honor to God. And then it's like I find out online there's other scriptures that lead to tithing. So I'm trying to find out who do I listen to?
Okay.
Because, you know, that's money. I mean, that's money.
Let's hear what Mark and Alice have to say. Emily, Mark, let's start with you.
Yeah. Hi, Emily. I can hear you feeling a little stuck here. So there's a few things that the scriptures say about tithing. Yeah, Malachi does talk about giving 10% of the tithe. But in the New Testament, it also talks about God loves a cheerful giver. And then there's also scripture about when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I think, though, here, Emily, tithing is for us. God doesn't need our money. God has all of the resources in the world and beyond because he created it. Tithing, though, is a principle for us to learn how to lean on and trust God. And that's every person's individual journey. And it's about us building our trust with God. And so I think if you have somebody who's pressuring you to give to them and to give a certain amount, I'm not sure that is the right approach to guilt somebody into giving. And so I want to just encourage you with that. It's about your relationship with God and trusting him and knowing that he is your ultimate source to lean on.
Alice?
Emily, I grew up watching my parents regularly write their check when we would go to church on the weekend. So I saw them tithe, but then there was a period in my adult life where I didn't. And then early in my marriage, my husband and I had a discussion about it one day, and I'd been reading that very verse that you're referring to. And I asked him, what do you think? Can we do this together? Well, Emily, we had so much student debt from my education. And he said, I don't think we're ready to yet. Why don't we wait until we catch up on all the debt that we have? I said, I don't know. I don't think it works that way. I'm afraid too. Emily, I was so afraid because we didn't have to give. But we decided, well, let's try to trust God's word because we've seen his faithfulness in other situations in our life. And if we can't start at 10%, that's okay. What if we start at 5% right now and then we build up to the 10%? And so we did that over time. It took us a while and we got to the 10% before we got out of my student loan debt. And Emily, we have never regretted giving. We've never regretted it. And we don't always get that same amount back from God, but we've seen blessings in our life throughout all this time. And my faith has grown where now I feel like I can give, even if we have debt, we can still give the tithe and trust that God will take care of us. But I still have anxiety sometimes too. So I challenge you, Emily, to consider if you're not yet giving the 10%, God likes us to just be in the process of growing in trust with him. So maybe this week I can only give 10 bucks, God, that's all I can give right now. But little by little, as we try to trust him more in action, he responds by growing our trust and by blessing us. How does our answer sit with you, Emily?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying also, what I should have said is, like, for instance, what would you do if you're recommending this particular ministry to other people, and these people could be not who they say they are? So, and then, you know, if you recommend, you even send something to your own family members, then you have your family members who could possibly be talking about you or looking at you in a certain way.
Is that what's happened to you, Emily?
That's sort of what I believe I'm going through right now. I've been having my family, we've been going through division for many years. And so here it is, I'm like sending stuff to family members and I'm already, you know, I'm not a perfect woman. And, you know, my family, I'm sure they know, you know, but it's hurtful when you already, you know, got problems with your family members, then you think you're right about this particular ministry and they could be like imposters, and then you got to deal with that plus what all else that your family members may be holding against you already. So
you're feeling responsibility of the whole family, and from whatever you're saying, and are you being the scapegoat, Emily? Are they blaming you?
Well, you know, it's just been different stuff going on in my family. It's like, you know, with family members, it's like, you know, a father that don't speak up to his wife, a wife that is controlling, you know, brothers that, you know, love their mother to the point that, you know, they may be taking sides. All this is what I've seen with my family, and maybe I'm not right, but, you know, and then, like I say, I'm sitting up here telling them about this ministry, and I don't even know if these people are who they say they are. So now I get that I'm dealing with, plus the anger that I've experienced with my family, because I had a situation to come up with my family member that passed away. I was like a caretaker, and because maybe I didn't do some things right, some stuff came up, and I called the cops about some stuff, about something that was going on, and the cop went back and told something that I thought was going to be confidential, so the family members, they could still be upset with me about that. So it's
Well, you know, Emily, Emily, you've had a lot of pain, and it sounds like you've lost your sense of self in the midst of all of this. Alice, how can we encourage Emily in this time?
Well, Emily, when you don't know if you can trust your own judgment, can you trust God, Scripture, your family members, the ministry, what you probably need is to get into counseling to start sorting through all this, because the tithing question is just one layer. But there is such a long history here with your family that I don't think you feel emotionally safe with them in conversation and maybe even in relationship. And Emily, getting with a counselor, somebody who you can trust because of the professional structure of the relationship, will then help you to start to sort through what are the surface level problems, but what are the deeper level problems, and how much relationship can I even be in with my family? Because I can't fully trust them. And so a counselor will be able to help you sort that out.
Yeah, I love that. And Emily, we're going to send you a copy of Changes That Heal, and we'll get you connected with a counselor in your area. I think that'll be a next step forward. Alice?
Becky, when we have overwhelming emotion, when tears come, anger comes, maybe overwhelming fear, it's kind of God's internal inbuilt system that we have that's telling us something's wrong, whether it's within me or in my relationships with people in my environment. It's our red flag warning sign. Something's wrong and it needs attention. And most of us need professional assistance to be able to figure out what that warning signs means and what to do about it next. We call it a checkup from the neck up. That's what a good counselor can help you do.
Yeah, it's kind of like all those warning signs that the Titanic didn't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And like Mark was talking about, you know, you feel it and then you try to make sense of it. It doesn't make sense in your thought process. So you just keep going. And then there's more pain. And you're right, Alice, we have to have people outside of us go, no, it's not what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. It is indeed an alarm. It is something to pay
attention to. People on the outside, they have a different perspective, right?
Yes.
They might even be able to see more of the picture that than we can see. And so we all have blind spots. And so being able to go to somebody outside of our perspective and see what they see and have them speak into our lives, that's one way of building the observing self.
Well, and it sounds to me like Emily is kind of aware of the dysfunction that's happening, but because the family system is so strong, she gets pulled into that dynamic. And boy, we all have that risk, you know, when you're in a powerful structure like that. It doesn't have to be family. It can be neighborhoods, churches, all kinds of things. We're going to go back to the calls. We're glad that you called, Emily. We'll be praying for you and know that the counselor will be helpful. We're going to talk with Craig, who's calling us from Waldorf, Maryland, listens on WAVA. Hello, Craig. How can we help you today?
Hello, question for you. I appreciate your program, and just curious, I don't see if you can tackle this, even if it's an issue, but I listen quite frequently because of a prodigal adult daughter, been dealing with that situation for years, but day in and day out, I hear people call, and appreciate the advice y'all give and your ministry and so forth, but I guess my question is, sin is a worldwide problem, but in America, not just on the four or five people that call a day, but, you know, our neighbors and our churches, is the rest of the country, or the rest of the world, I should say, is messed up as our country with issues with addictions and relationships. And I don't even know if there's any stats on that or if this question even makes any sense. But it just seems like it's enveloped shit with so much going on. But again, certainly appreciate your ministry. And just if you have any thoughts on that, that's my question.
Well, we will have thoughts on that, Craig. We're so glad that you listen regularly, and you can hear the music. You know that means that we're going to go to a break, and we'll come back after this break to answer that question. You know, I could give you a brief answer, but I'm not going to. You're going to have to wait until after the break. I want to encourage you, though, if you haven't given to New Life, we are helping so many people. And we may be helping people outside this country. That's why we're going to talk about that after the break, Craig. But we're so glad that you called. If you want to give, give. It'll make a difference.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so grateful to be here for you. And if you are listening at another time when we're not taking calls, you can call us or go to newlife.com/radio and find out the different ways that you can ask your question for us to answer here on the air. Right now, we're talking with Craig, who is a regular listener. We're so grateful for that, Craig. And basically, your question was, I'm going to surmise it to say, does the United States have the hold on addiction and relationship struggles and sin as opposed to the rest of the world? Is that kind of what you're asking, Craig?
That sounds good. I think I know the answer, but I just, I mean, you can't go to China or Russia and probably call into a radio program like y'all's. And, but it just seems like we're just messed up in so many ways. And, you know, obviously the effects of sin, but, it just seems like it's overwhelming. Every day you hear the phone calls coming in, y'all deal with it. We appreciate y'all dealing with it. But then you go home and your neighbors have issues, your coworkers have issues. Yeah, it's like, wow, we're you know, it's not going to end, I guess, till we cross the Jordan, so to speak. But that was just my question. Where do we
Is it widespread
in other places?
Let's see what Mark and Alice have to say. Mark, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, well, it's a great question, Craig. And actually, you can call into the show if you live in another country. We've had people call from Canada. We've had people call from the UK. And we just passed tax day. And there's a common saying, right, where the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. But I'm going to add to that, you know, sin is certain in life. Wherever there are humans, there are sin. But Romans 5:20-21 says, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds further. And so, and what we love about the callers is the few callers who are able to get through on any given show, and they're the brave ones, too, to come and call and ask that question. So we know that hundreds of thousands of other people are struggling with similar things, and so they gain wisdom and advice from the answers that we give too. So, yeah, it's a sin, unfortunately, is an ongoing problem in the world. And like you said, we won't get there until we cross the Jordan. But thankfully, we have ministries like our ministry that we can help others.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Alice? I would say that nations do have certain sin patterns and certain idolatries that are culturally upheld, government-sanctioned idolatries. And that was evident in the Old Testament, that the different nations were known for that. The different kingdoms had their own particular god that they served. And so areas tend to coagulate together in certain sin patterns because sin always multiplies. So I do think there can be a little bit of uniqueness there. You brought to mind for me, Craig, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that no temptation has overtaken us except what is common to mankind. I worked early in my career in downtown LA with a largely immigrant, Spanish-speaking immigrant population. And then I moved to Orange County, and I thought, the problems are probably going to be very different here in Orange County. It's such a different socioeconomic status. They really weren't that different. We're all messy all over the place.
And that's why we need Jesus. I mean, Craig, you know that that's the answer, but it seems like there needs to be an additional help with Jesus. But truly, you know, what we talk about here is, yes, we need to be saved. We are saved by grace. We ask Jesus into our life and follow him. But we also have some work to do. It's not our salvation that we have to work on necessarily. But if we have addictions, like you were talking about, and if we are struggling in any area of sin and relationship, that's where the counseling, the books, the group, that's what we've been doing for 35 years, is helping people get clear. Now, I do have a question, a follow-up. How are you doing? You said you mentioned a prodigal daughter. And what kind of help, what kind of work are you doing there, Craig?
Oh, my goodness. you don't have enough shows left in the my lifetime to solve that issue. She's been substance addicted for 15 years, and the whole we've seen it all, so it's, you know, prayers, nationwide prayers, people praying for her today, that would be great, but, but I've had the advice, you know, read the books, and just waiting on a breakthrough.
Well, we are praying for you as well, Craig. That is a burden to bear, and it makes sense why you're asking the question, too. Is, you know, is there an answer somewhere else? Like, you know, how can we find that freedom? I hope that you are connected with a group. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you connected with a Life Recovery group. I think that could give you some encouragement. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible as well. It's hard when you're in the midst of an ongoing struggle, and we will be praying for your daughter. Mm-hmm. We'll be praying for complete restoration, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future. It's tough. It is so tough, and yet there is hope. There's always hope, and we've heard it, we've seen it, we've witnessed it, how people have made dramatic changes in their life, not on their own. They've had prayers, but they've also had great counselors and resources, and we want to see more of that each and every day. We're going to go back to the callers, and we're going to talk with Heidi. She's part of our Club New Life family. Thank you, Heidi, for calling. She's calling us from Fair Oaks, California, and listens to us online. How can we help you today, Heidi?
The show was good. I heard about, you know, coming up with the process in our life, and I realize that's what's happened in my life. I've had a fabulous process, thanks to you guys. I've started when it was Minuth Meyer, and I've dealt with abusive childhood, got out of an abusive marriage. And about 20 years ago, I lost 80 pounds, and through a process of healing and everything. And then some things have come up, and I started gaining weight. And then I recently have lost my adopted mama, my second mama that has supported me through all of this.
And Heidi,
I've been slowly gaining the weight back. I'm 50 pounds heavier, and I cannot stop eating. And she's been my everything. And I just
Heidi, we'll be right back after this break with you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Heidi, who has been in a struggle for far too long. And Heidi, we had to go to the break. And let's hear, what is the best way we can help you today?
I'm at the point where I don't care about losing weight anymore. And that's not good for my health in many, many ways. I kept my weight off before, and I know I'm an addict, and it's either sugar or exercise, and I used to keep it off by exercising. And I have a blood disease, degenerated all my joints. I've had many joint replacements. I've done it twice. I can't do it again. I can't walk, so I can't exercise. So that was my freedom. And so without exercise, I'm just gaining, and there's a point in me that just doesn't care, because I've been there. I know the diet's up and down, and I'm tired of the up and down, and I'm afraid of myself.
And Heidi, with this recent loss of your spiritual mom, she passed away, right?
Yes. Sudden stroke, suddenly.
And was she the main person that was close with you, or their other sisters?
She was my everything, almost 50 years. And she knows every part of me, every secret. Nobody will ever be that much a part of my life. She cared more than any human being in my life.
Heidi,
I tried to reach out to friends, and none of them get it, understand. I realize I've helped all of them, but it's like they can't be there for me.
We can really hear that it feels hopeless. I think you feel pretty powerless. And then the apathy you expressed, I don't even care about my weight anymore. You may know that apathy is one of the symptoms of depression. And you may be so depressed that you don't even have the energy, the wherewithal, the desire to take care of yourself right now. Hopelessness, powerlessness, those are also symptoms of depression. And they sure make sense with the people you've lost, the people that were abusive to you in your life. And your friend group isn't able to be there for you right now because maybe they're more used to receiving from you rather than giving back to you. Oh, I can just hear how very alone you feel in this. You probably know that recovery, it's really about managing the tension of setbacks rather than getting to a point of success and no longer having setbacks. We all have the setbacks. But I think unless you get the treatment for depression and probably a medical evaluation, I don't think your apathy will allow you to get back into the caring about the process.
Yeah, you're in grief here, Heidi, and you know depression is a very typical phase of grief, as Alice is saying here. And yeah, I'm proud of you for doing, you know, for being able to overcome many other obstacles in your life. And so when at the start of the show, when I talked about the four stages of competence building, you have to do those stages in every single tasks that you're trying to become competent in. And so it's just, you know, it's just this particular area of eating that you're stuck in conscious incompetence, right? You know what you're doing is wrong. You're just kind of stuck and it feels overwhelming and it's all happening right now because you're dealing with grief too. And that's, and I hear all those other setbacks. And so, yeah, it's, you need hope around you. You need a group. And you just said that there's others who are in your current group right now, but you're more of the helper to them. And you need to find a group, I think, where others can help you through this. And so I think a grief group would be really good for you because I think you have to get through the grief here and process that because you've had a significant loss here before that you can start to really think about how do I get back on the wagon here and push forward with conquering this weight.
And you know, the other part of that too, Mark and Alice and Heidi, is that when we have a catastrophic loss, like what you're describing with this very close sister friend, it piles on to all of the other losses that you've experienced. And then it feels like, I don't know, I can't go to one more thing. I can't ask one more, you know, person for advice or help. And what we're telling you is that's what you're going to have to do. And there is hope in that. I mean, do you see that, Heidi? I know it feels overwhelming, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But here's how I would encourage you, Heidi. You've got through in all these other areas of your life through to the next stage, conscious incompetence and then now conscious competence. So you can do this. It's just a new challenge. And I think with a new challenge, you may need new resources.
Yeah. We are going to get you connected with a life recovery group, whether it is on grief or overeating, whatever way you want to go about that, we can get you connected. They have them online, so you won't have to get in the car and go anywhere. But, you know, Heidi, that is going to be part of your healing journey. I'm going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Group, Life Recovery Workbook on Grief. It is a helpful process to just really examine the feelings. I love what you just said, Mark. You know, you have the conscious, what did you say? Conscious competence, right? Is that where she's at?
Yeah. She's in conscious incompetence because she knows what she's getting wrong, but it's just, she's in overwhelm of getting past.
Yeah. That overwhelm is so powerful too, isn't it? And we need each other to carry those burdens, right? I mean, it feels futile, but there is such power in the group. Alice, do you have any other encouragement for Heidi?
Well, when a person is mainly a helper, it's very difficult to switch into being helped and to being needy. All different kinds of things can get in the way. The people around us aren't accustomed to it. We've maybe lost touch with our ability to be needy. And for me, there usually gets to be pride wrapped up in it, where I don't want to be needy because I want to be the one that has the answers. I had them before. Why can't I just do it again? And when we can't, then that probably means we don't have enough people who are in on it with us, know what we're going through, and are willing to support us in our weakness.
And I think for Heidi here, this also highlights an area in her life, like you're saying here, Alice. She's been the one who's been supporting others, and now she's got a need. She's realizing that in her community, she's the one who does most of the helping, and she doesn't do a lot of the receiving. And so it's a highlight of how she may need to rebalance.
Yeah. Well, and her loss was the person who supported her mm-hmm. as she supported everyone else. Yeah. And that's going to take grieving and it's going to take healing. And you don't do that by yourself.
And maybe we can send Lose It for Life to Heidi, too.
Okay, we will. She probably has it since she's been part of our community mm-hmm. for so long. But we would love for you to have a copy of that as well. We're grateful that you called, Heidi. We'll be praying for you. And, you know, speaking of Club New Life, we have gatherings every quarter for our Club New Life family. And it's just on Zoom. And we're going to have one April 22nd. In the evening, if you are part of Club New Life and you want more information about that, you can call us. If you want to join Club New Life, we would invite you to be part of the family that gives to help other people experience that new life that God has for them. We're so grateful for our Club New Lifers. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to talk with Lucy, who's calling us from Washington, D.C. She watches us on YouTube. We're grateful that you watch us there, Lucy. If you are part of our YouTube family, you can click that like and subscribe button. It helps get the word out about the ministry. Hi, Lucy. How can we help you today?
Thank you, Becky. Hi, everybody. Oh, I almost said, my name is Lucy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lucy. We love that. Yes.
Oh, gosh. I need my meetings. Mm-hmm. And it's such a privilege to be here because of the previous calls and the callers and the really dynamic things they're going through, like Heidi. Mm-hmm. Well, I need my group, like Mark was saying. And I have to recharge my batteries a lot. So the other day when I was thinking, you know, the bridges collapsed here in Baltimore and the earthquake, I was on a Zoom AA meeting with a friend, and he started saying, I'm all upset. There's something wrong, you know, and I feel shaky. And it wasn't his washing machine exploding like he thought. It was the earthquake. Wow. All this stuff. But after, you know, and there's always that undertone of confusion and chaos in our news and fear and starvation and war. So I turn to my favorite book. And the Bible gives me so much hope. And it's so fascinating. And I'm trying to block out the things that are visible and see the, you know, the future promise that is not real visible. Mm. It's hard to explain, but I happened on some sermons, you know, on the radio and on the YouTube thing, and I just got so inspired. It just buoyed my spirit right back up, and I want to stay up, you know?
Yeah. Well, Lucy, you can hear the music. We're going to go to the break. Do you have a question? I think we get your idea, but I would love if you have a specific question that we could be thinking about during the break.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Yes. Oh, to give it to you now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
How do I do that? How do I keep my eyes on the prize and not get so distracted by all these problems that are real?
Great. Great question, Lucy. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, if you miss a day on radio, you can listen on the app, you can watch us on YouTube, you can go to newlife.com, and you can also download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And we're talking with Lucy, who watches us on YouTube, and Lucy's concern is, you know, there's so much going on in the world. How do we keep our focus on Christ when there's so much going wrong? Alice, let's start with you.
Lucy, I think there are a couple things we can do to protect our hearts from a barrage of distressing information about what's happening in the world that sometimes we can do little to nothing about. And we might have to literally limit our exposure to it. There have been times in my life, Lucy, where I chose to no longer watch the news because I found that it laid additional burdens on my heart that were just too much for me at the time, in addition to what was happening in my personal life. So check on that one if you might need to do that. And then as you're so wisely in ongoing groups, you know this is just a reminder and an encouragement to voice the feelings that you have about the despair in the world. Give those feelings to your people that you love, that you trust, that will comfort you. Check on any personal impact or a history you've actually experienced that it reminds you of, because, you know, things that happen today can feel so similar to what's happened in the past, and that historical angst can arise. It may be pointing us to something that's unresolved. And lastly, I'll just say, make sure that you have a current day purpose. Because if we get into a mode of feeling like, I didn't hear this from you, but some of us can, where it feels like, God, take me now. I just want to be in heaven. I'm just so sick of this life. It's a natural way to feel. But having current day purpose and knowing that if I'm alive, God's not done with me. He's got a mission for me still. God, what is my mission? And then that helps us stay grounded here.
Mark?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love that, Alice. I'm going to use that current day purpose. Yeah. So, Lucy, this is, you know, life is about finding balance in these things. And so, you know, the last call we talked about unconscious incompetence and we talked about conscious incompetence. Well, this is where conscious competence kicks in, right? It's not about you're doing everything perfectly. But it's about when you have failures, you're able to pick yourself back up and keep going. And we need groups to do that, as you were saying. We need people around us, but we need to find the balance too of, yes, you know, we don't live all in sunshine and rainbows, but also, you know, we have life and we have good things and not everything is terrible and awful. And finding the balance of what can I do to live my best life in this moment? Do I have purpose? Can I give? Can I accomplish? Can I make a difference today? And it's learning to kind of refocus ourselves back to those things. And yeah, I like what Alice is saying too. It's sometimes we've got to limit our exposure on social media to the news. And sometimes that may even be with the people around us, people who want to focus on negativity. And so make sure you're surrounding yourself with folks who also are able to be balanced individuals and able to bring you up too.
Yeah. You know, Lucy, one of the powerful things that happens in group is, as you know, because if you are part of AA, like you mentioned, you feel heard, you feel seen, you feel carried, and it's real powerful. But the interesting thing is that negativity and criticism also loves a party. And so when you're around people who are negative, there's an energy that starts there, and, you know, you start to go one up or one worse. And, you know, and actually it's interesting, because if you're aware how that affects you, then when you're in those groups or those conversations, or even like you were saying, Alice, where you just turn off the TV, media is meant to entice us to watch, to listen.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. That's how they sell advertising, you know, and we love media, you know, we're all about that. We want you to listen to us, but I just think that is the balance, because we don't want you to live like, you know, as a hermit and not know things, but it is that balance. Lucy, where do you feel the strongest when you feel supported in your faith in comparison to what's going on in the world?
I think when I'm talking to someone face to face, even a stranger on the bus.
Right. You're feeling that connective. That neuroconnectivity is powerful. We know that is something that's missing in today's world, is that we don't do a whole lot of eyeball to eyeball, you know, human contact. It's usually on screens. Are you facilitating that? Like, are you looking for ways to connect in person with people?
Well, this morning, I did something I usually don't do. I got out of the house, out of the apartment, bright and early, and enjoyed the sunshine and the warmth. And my allergies hadn't kicked in really yet. So I had a great day. I walked around the block. I went to the store. I had good conversations, good interactions with people. And also, I see those things that you say about the media. Even that cute guy on Channel 7 on ABC News. I noticed that he was being spectacular and negative, and that got my attention, you know?
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does.
So
it does.
Maybe one of them newscasters can be spectacular and positive,
And then I can think, oh, yeah, I can add to that story, or I can build on this experience, you know?
Well, I would love that, Lucy. I just don't know if they'll sell very many advertisements like that, but but I love the idea of the early morning walk too. It is, there are studies that prove that getting outside and walking have a direct correlation to positivity in our brains and our moods. And then, you know, you couple that with talking with people and encouraging one another, you know, and of course I would say spending time in the Word and prayer, whether that's with people or somebody else or by yourself. But Alice or Mark, do you have any last comments for Lucy?
Lucy, I wonder if you know that you are a delightful person to be in conversation with. You're lighthearted. You bring hope and a vivaciousness to conversation. You've made me laugh out loud several times. So I just see it as part of your ongoing present day purpose that you are the hands and feet of God, as we're all called to be. And so when you interact with people, you leave a blessing with them. I'm feeling the effects of that right now.
And that's actually so funny, because I was going to say
I
was going to say the same thing here, but I was going to build upon what you said here, Lucy, about, you know, you wish that cute Channel 7 guy could be, you know, this positive person. But I think you're the positive person. I think you're the ray of sunshine and delight in people's lives. And you're just talking to that stranger on the bus and you're bringing some light into their day. So keep it going. I love it.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to keep praying for Heidi, because if I couldn't do my nature walks, it would be really hard.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to just learning to swim at 65 years old. You know,
I love that.
It doesn't hurt.
Good for you. Yeah, that's your purpose. That's your current day purpose, learning to swim. I love it.
I love that. Lucy, I'm going to send you two books. I'm going to send you Dr. Dave Stoops' You Are What You Think and his book Living Well, Finishing Strong. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to encourage you in both of these situations where, oh, I said it wrong, even though I'm looking at it's Living Strong, Finishing Well. I tell you. But either way, we look forward to hearing from you again, Lucy. And, you know, we're just so grateful to have the Word of God, to have the connection of believers all across, like the thing that Lucy's going to be praying for Heidi. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you listeners, as you think about what you've heard today, that you would offer up prayers for the people that we are serving. And if you need anything, we are here for you. We have our intensives that are coming up. We've got Every Man's Battle in May 17th in Washington, D.C. Emotional Freedom is online June 1st. Restore July in Washington, D.C. You can look all of these up at newlife.com. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, listeners. We're praying for you. We're grateful for you. And we look forward to hearing from you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.